When Gypsy and I had been married just a few years, like a lot of married couples, we had to make a decision about where we were going to live because I was not in school right then, but she was in graduate school, and I'd actually gotten a job, and it was 80 miles from the graduate school that she was in. So we had to figure out, were we going to live in the middle? Were we going to live one place and commute the other place? Or and drive 80 miles one way, one of us all the time to do our work or do our school. And we chose neither of those. We chose to live half the week in the town where her graduate school was and the other half of the week in the town where my job was. And this worked out pretty well because my job was at a church, which meant I mostly worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just like I will this week. But we kind of clumped all those hours into those 4 days. And then she really worked really hard to get all of her classes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the reason this arrangement could work for us was because that Gypsy's grandparents had turned into snowbirds at this point. And so they had a house in the town where her university was. And so we would go and stay in that house Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Or we'd get up there late Sunday night after I finished everything at the church. And we'd stay through Wednesday. And it was great. The other factor involved while we're doing all this is we had our first child, Michael. And so what this meant was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was stay-at-home dad. And we had one car, and Gypsy would take off in that car and leave me at her grandparents' house. And I would sit there all day with Michael. And I discovered a wonderful thing in that time that her grandparents had in that house called cable television. And I was just a young guy. I couldn't go out anywhere. There wasn't a place to walk. Their condo was in this massive condo complex with nothing but concrete around. And, you know, it was Michigan. It was cold in the winter, which was most of the time we're in school. And, you know, there's only so much, like, television you can watch unless you find something you really enjoy. And I found something, I discovered something I didn't know about myself. I love to watch food shows. So I would get up and I would watch food television all day long, basically. And when you're stuck and, you know, it's not stuck. You've got a baby and you're in a recliner. I mean, it's not, it doesn't really get any better. And you're watching television. I fell in love with food television. I fell in love with cooking. I love to cook to this day. And I learned so much, but there was a show that would come on for a while that I discovered in this period that wasn't really a cooking show, but had a chef on it. And this show has been restarted several times on many different networks with this celebrity chef, this fella Anthony Bourdain. And at that time, I don't remember what this iteration of it was, Anthony Bourdain had a real formula to the show. He would go to a strange place. He'd meet up with celebrity chefs in this place. They would go and eat absolutely disgusting food together. And then they would always end the show in somebody's home, a local person, and they'd eat with them. And another feature of that show that always struck me was every show had a moment where he'd be sitting down with the celebrity chef from the region he was in, and he would ask them a bunch of questions about the food that he cooked and what his restaurant was like. But he'd always ask, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you want to eat that night? If you knew this was your last night on earth, what's the meal you're going to eat? And the thing that was so amazing about this question was that nobody answered it. These are really hoity-toity chefs. Nobody answered, you know, I want this special fish that only lives in one cubic yard of the ocean, and I want it prepared by this other special Japanese chef who, you know, their knife work is amazing. Everybody always answered that they wanted whatever the home cooking was they'd had when they were a child. Nobody wanted something fancy. Everybody wanted the mac and cheese, or they wanted the stew of their region, or they wanted, you know, whatever the bread was that was cooked on wood fires outside of the village that they had grown up in this part of the world. Nobody wanted something fancy. And the reason is, and they all would explain this, is because I want food that I remember, that puts me in the places with the people that I love. And even though I've eaten fantastic meals my whole life, I have a chef of notoriety, and I get to eat food that you all will never eat. I don't want to eat that if I know I'm going to die. I want to eat the food that puts me back in the place where my family was with me. Food that was prepared by my mother or my grandmother or my aunt or my uncle or my dad on the grill. Anything. Really plain, simple, normal food that put them in the place with the people that they loved. That's what I think of when I think of this meal that we get to eat together every Sunday and tonight. If somebody would have asked Jesus, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, and he does, what are you going to eat? This is it. We're going to have bread, and we're going to have wine. And the thing that is so amazing about this meal we have is not that it's spectacular. It's not that it's miraculous. It is that it is absolutely normal and simple. And he took the two things that were on the table that would have been on any table in most cultures in the world through all of time. Bread and wine. He said, that's what I want to have. That's what I want to eat with my friends right now. And he's given us that gift that we can eat it too without a lot of struggle. I mean, Jesus could have said, if you want to eat with me, you got to find these special ingredients. He didn't say that. He said, if you want to eat with me, you guys got to find bread and wine. And you know what? It's probably on your table already. And I can be there at your table too. That Jesus was providing the means that we could have that meal that he felt like made him feel most loved. And the meal that we can eat and also feel most love. When we eat it up here and I say a special prayer, but even if it's just your home table and you just happen to notice, hey, on the table tonight we got bread and wine. You know who's here eating with us and loves us? Jesus does. And he showed us that he does by saying, this is the meal to remember me by. This is the meal that I'll always be present in. And this is the meal I invite you to. Amen.